Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time, finally, for America's Lakers Podcast. That's right, I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers Podcast. My man Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers Podcast exclusively at PodcastOne.com, the PodcastOne.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all that delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers Podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Just begin a minute. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Drew?
We do. What was that big dust up outside the door on the way in here just now? And by the way, I got a couple other things I want to get into, and we got to get to Jake's call, but go ahead.
I am not into waste.
What?
And I try to defend against things before they happen. Hmm. And also, I have this pretty good ability to, when somebody says, I have tons of conversations where people go, we got to go to the market over here and get the hot dogs, and we got to go to the bun place, which is on the other side of town, to pick up the buns. And then I go, hold on. I bet you could get the buns at the same place that sells the hot dogs. And I go, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't feel like they have them. And I go, I bet they do. Hold on. Don't go to the hot dog place and then drive across town to get the buns. Go. All right. Hold on. Call the hot dog place and ask them if they have buns now. If they don't have buns, then
this
call
all comes
the bun
from your
place.
Exhaustive study of wheels and tires.
Right. And then
wheels and tires. And always, ultimate efficiency.
And then it smash cut to where's Dylan? He's going to the bun place across town. Well, where? But he went to the hot dog place. We won't be back for a few hours. And then I go, what happened? And then I call the hot dog place, and they have buns and hot dogs. I mean, as a dumb example, that's where I'm at. Because my thing is, like, let's stop this. Stop it from happening. So a couple of weeks ago on my show on ACS, we had Cody.
Oh, yeah.
Cody's confined to a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And Cody's confined to a wheelchair because he has cerebral palsy. And I said, I was talking to Gary as I was driving in, and he said, Cody's here, and he's got his helper, and he's in his wheelchair. And something to the effect of, Dylan was going to the other shop to get some plywood to build a ramp, to sort of construct a ramp so he could get the wheelchair into this room. This room has a threshold that's 2 inches high. And it's not only that, it's got a chamfer on the front of it. It's got an angle in front of it. It's 2 inches off the ground. So I said to Gary, because this is what I do, Do not have Dylan go there. By the way, Dylan, as I joked about on my show at the time, is going to come home with an Angora rabbit from that thing. He's not going to have a ramp or anything that works. But either way, don't send him there. It's a waste. It's going to be a waste. We'll just get him. You can just, there's seven dudes here. The guy's in a wheelchair. I'm hearkening back to the days of yore when my grandmother was in a wheelchair.
Oh.
And she come into my house and went in Hollywood Hills with all the steps and stuff. And like Ray would grab the handles and I'd grab the bottom part. And we'd walk her up. We'd go up 81 stairs.
Yeah.
This is a 2-inch rise.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Mentos commercial.
Mentos. It's the makings of a Mentos commercial. So I was like, don't have him go. It's a wheelchair. For some reason, his helper said, I think we could use a ramp or help or whatever. But I'm still thinking, we got Emmy in the other room. The guy's built like a bottle jack, raped a butt plug. A lot of leverage in Emmy in the next room. We got some pretty able-bodied dudes around here. Let's just, and also, I think wheelchairs in the modern era can negotiate 2-inch lifts. Otherwise, it's going to be, I don't know how she's getting them around to the supermarket or like anything else if this is.
Right.
You got to build a ramp for that. But we are ramped. We'll just.
And by the way, I would argue that just even getting me up on the plywood would be just about as hard as getting over that little bump.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Well, that's what it was. So I yelled emphatically, Gary, don't let Dylan go to the other shop and bring home something weird. Keep him. We'll get him in. And that was my belief.
And when I came in, he was sitting by the couches.
Yeah, so I didn't question it. And then a few moments ago, I was standing by the refrigerator and saw a big chunk of plywood leaning against the refrigerator. And I said, what is this? Or how did this get here? Or what is this? And then somebody said, that was what Dylan used. That's what he brought from the other shop. And then I said, Dylan didn't go to the other shop. I told Gary not to let him go to the shop. And I haven't seen anything. And then they said, oh, he went to the shop. So I guess Dylan made the move while Gary was on the phone. But Gary, don't just call me or something. Like if the instructor goes, he needs a, just go look at the thing or something, or tell him we're out of, what would we do if we didn't have another shop? You know what I mean? Like, she sends you to the, what are we going to do? Go to Home Depot? Like, what does she do? Like, there's a bunch of dudes in a wheelchair. Just, it's 2 inches. Like, just next time.
Is that what you guys were fighting about or whatever that was?
Well, Dylan went to the other shop. Yeah. Dylan got a weirdly shaped crescent piece of MDF that didn't really fit the bill, and he brought it back here, but the thing that drives me insane is then he stores it next to the refrigerator, which is like, I don't want the thing. I don't want to pay you to go to the shop. And you can go, you didn't pay him to go. Yes, I paid him to go to the shop. I paid him to go to the shop. Then I paid him to tuck it in somewhere stupid. It also always drives me nuts when I say to everyone, put it away. Put it away. Are you done with it? Put it away. Do we have another guy with cerebral palsy coming in anytime in the foreseeable future? No. Then don't store it in the slot between the table and the refrigerator. Get it out. Put it by the front door. Bring it back to the shop. Whatever it is, don't. This is not the place to store it. I know it's thin, and I know there's a thin opening between the table and the refrigerator. That doesn't mean this is the place. I'm not storing plywood here. And that was that. Now, I still want to get Cody back here and see if we can get him in his wheelchair. Then Dylan says, I said if we got a running start, we could get him in here. Like a running start. Like, no, not a running start. You take the wheelchair and you lean it back and you tip it. You do like a little wheelie, 2 inches off the ground. You go forward 4 inches and then you.
You really just need to worry about the front wheels and then the back wheels will follow if you get the front.
Running wheel. Start. Has he seen a Naked Gun and what could happen when you get a running start and down in a wheelchair? I think that was in Naked Gun.
Yeah, I thought a Jackass.
I think that was a stadium. All right. Drew, you're a medical professional.
Yeah.
Do you think we needed the plywood?
No. No.
But here's the other thing. Why doesn't anyone what do people do? Like, what if the handler just went, I'm going to need you to stand on your head for a while you pull your pants up around under your armpits and whistle Dixie. Would you just do it, or would you go like, I'm going to assess what's happening here. Like, I have a brain. I was on the phone with Gary, and then he was going, yeah, we need a piece of plywood to get. And I was like, no, you don't. No, you don't. I've not seen him. I've not seen his wheelchair. I have no idea what his apparatus is. I have no idea about anything. All I know is I'm not there, and you don't need plywood. Those are two things I'm acutely aware of us. I'm not present, and you don't need plywood. Those are the only two truths I know right now. Speaking truth to power. No plywood. But anyway, Dylan went and got the plywood, and then Gary couldn't. Okay. Can we suss it out? Gary, be in charge, would you? What'd she say? We need plywood. It would help.
She said we need a ramp to get him up into the studio. I'll be honest with you. My reaction was, I'm uncomfortable around this human being. I wish I wasn't, but I was uncomfortable
She's
around Cody.
She's not that bitchy. But keep going.
I was a little uncomfortable. And as far as I'm concerned, this woman is the expert in the care of this person. So when she said, I need a ramp, I agree that if we didn't have another shop, I would have probably taken a different tact. But when it's, I can send a person 170 yards.
You send
yards,
Dylan to get a ramp? Dylan doesn't know. Dylan got the weirdest shaped piece of anything you could ever imagine and brought it back.
Did it work?
I don't know.
Did it work?
I don't know. I don't think we ever used it. By the time I saw him in the studio, I don't think I had seen Dylan back. So I don't know that we used
Where's Dylan? Is he around?
He's working on something else.
Screw him. Listen, you got a brain. It's 2 inches. Just, you know, you can tell her we don't have a ramp, but I think we can just manage right over here. We'll just lean him back, slide it right on up. Giving a ramp. Look, I don't care. I just, my fear is, what if something important happens? You see what I'm saying?
That we need Dylan for?
No, like we need a brain, like a collective brain for. Yeah. Like, what if something is happening?
He's worried about an earthquake.
People have to use their brain. Like, aren't we in trouble? We're doomed, right?
Yeah, thank God we have you here.
I wasn't here. I was simply on the phone yelling,
whatever.
Don't do it.
Oh,
don't go.
So what happened?
Dylan, did you use the ramp? Dylan, we're going to find out if Dylan used the ramp.
Yes, we did use the ramp. It was very helpful.
The 3/4 inch you bought?
Not necessary.
You leaned it up.
At all, but it was helpful.
All right. Not necessary, but helpful. All right.
It was.
Why the storage by the side of the fridge?
Bad decision.
Okay.
Just a busy day, other shit to do, and I left it there, and I should not have.
Okay. All right. Helpful. Unnecessary, but helpful.
Yes.
All right.
It was a very strange shape.
It was a strange shape. It was like, I must have been making a desk out of it, like kidney
beans. That was Bald Brian's old desk that he had in the old room.
There it is.
But again, Ace, I mean, it was like 10 minutes to showtime. We had to go get... I snagged a piece of wood.
I said it
was more the thickness than the shape of it that I
got
assessed.
It. Listen, it's not, in the big scheme, this is only maybe an 8. No, I just it, for
but
me.
But it's a rehearsal for something more important.
I was
important.
Just on the phone going, "Do not let him go get that plywood." That's what I was saying to Gary. Like,
can I say one thing about the head of steam?
Mm-hmm.
I was not suggesting that we just leave it up to Cody to pull back the chair and rock it forward into the room.
Maybe just like Freddie got fingered.
No,
and they put those rockets on the wheelchair. You know,
I want to know. Oh wait, how does the head of steam work?
So I mean, it would have been me and Cece, his caretaker,
right?
You know, with an assisted
push.
Jolt into the studio with the mechanized wheels, kind of head of steam blasting through the door. I think it would have worked. I stand by it.
I suspect
if it hit a stop, like
skateboard and acorn.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like what you need is a finesse. You need the finesse, which is get right up to it with the front wheels and then lean it back a little and slide it forward and then move forward and then just.
Head of steam has the potential.
I'm done having this conversation.
I have a question. You take the pencil,
you put it in your hand.
How
you
does
use
Cody
the
use
the
phone
end.
That sits in front of him? Did you guys get a load of that at all, Dylan? I didn't know how you used that.
I didn't. But I'm gonna go right now if that's okay. I feel like I'm making him angrier.
No, that's all right. But throw away that plywood.
If he's angry, Dylan, you better watch out.
You better watch out. Just amused. All right, but listen, everybody, you got to have...
I just got my wife off the texting by saying that you're screaming at me.
Good.
Good. Everyone's afraid of you.
You got to have... You have to have a little... You know, this brings me to a larger point,
uh-oh.
Drew.
Okay.
I'm at a larger
all
point.
Right, all right.
Can I talk about a larger point?
Yes.
First, I'll talk about Simply Safe, and then I'll tell you about my larger point
that
we all need.
All right.
And it's frowned upon in today's society. I don't frown upon Simply Safe. I understand why some people may be put off in terms of getting home security, slimy sales guys, long-term contracts, expensive installations. Why bother? I'll tell you why bother. You bother with Simply Safe. That's not a bother. You go online. You set up your system. They send it to you. It arrives on your door. You peel and stick 3M sticky tape, boom, put it all up, get it up and running in under an hour. You know, pulling wires or drilling holes or crawling around in underpinnings. Get top of the line protection, no long term contracts, no hidden fees. Just order it online, set it up in an hour. Family, home, safe. Protected 24/7, man. That is as much as we got. We don't have more than 24/7. Get 10% off.
I'm learning something today.
Yeah, that's as much. You think you go 25/10, but that's not a possibility. Get 10% off now. It's simplysafeadam.com. That's S-I-M-P-L-I. simplysafe.com/Adam2. One more time to get the 10% off. simplysafe.com/Adam T W-O. You can also find it at Best Buy, but do it with our code and let them know you heard it here. I am constantly trying to talk to people about horse sense, just problem solving, just instinct, basic horse sense. Which
it's not an easy thing to develop.
It is out the window.
Yeah.
Part of it is technology has just sort of fixed everything. Like, oh, look.
Well, let me give you a good example. Is that this is something that comes up almost every day for me where I have to tell people, please do not mistake your Google search for my medical training.
Mm-hmm.
One is based on experience and develops a wisdom and an instinct and a judgment. The other is strictly information, which, by the way, that information I had in my head at the end of my second year of medical school, I spent the next 8 years developing that and mm-hmm. applying it and developing judgment around it.
Right.
So the point where rather than looking at a list on a Google search, if I walked in a room, I like smell what's going on. I know immediately what's going on. It's almost like a holistic sense, right? You know what I'm talking about. That's the horse sense you're talking about. You're like, you just know it. You just know what's going on.
Well, you see, look, you should develop this like you develop, you know, lower body strength, where you just have strong base. It's like, well, what are you doing? Are you entering the Olympics? Are you playing professional football? It's like, no, I just want a good base. I want a good, strong base. I don't want to be limping around or having trouble getting out of bed. I want a good base, you know? And then look, if a bear chases me, I'll have a good base, you know? And if some bikers chase me down an alley, I'll have a good base. I'll just have a good base.
Yeah.
And I believe that technology, whether it's searching on Google or the simple act of nobody remembers anyone's phone numbers anymore because they're just in your phone. You used to have to use your brain to memorize a series of numbers, right?
Yep.
So you don't have to do that anymore. And the base that you get, the horse sense or the common sense, is, to me, it is nurtured and fostered by building. Building is a basic common sense that you have to deal with all the time when you're building with it, but just a constant reality that's always there. And when you then start saying things to me, such as, well, how are we going to get his wheelchair up? My brain goes three-quarter. I got inch and a half. I got 2x4 runners on the ground. I go back to building this place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I got 2x4 runners on the ground. They're flat. That's an inch and a half. Then I got 3/4 ply. And I even jumped in my brain, like, did I put inch and an eighth sturdy floor on there? Did I go with 3/4 ply? No, I go 3/4. Now I'm at 2 1/4.
Mm-hmm.
Then I factor in a little bit for carpet, but that's not really much and it's going to compress. So I'm still at 2 1/4. Now I'm picturing a 2 1/4 obstacle, and my brain is now picturing the wheelchair like sort of going over it.
I have to go out there and look at this. May I?
Like lifting.
I have to see what we're talking about. I can't picture it.
You can't picture what? You step over it every day.
I just don't notice it. I got to see this. Do you mind?
Well, okay, but yeah, you go.
I'm going to go see this.
I built that goddamn threshold.
I did.
I built that threshold because I knew this studio was going to be up off the ground. Drew, you should be institutionalized.
Got it.
You really should be. Yes, like, it's unsafe for you. For all you. Right. Not just family and neighbors, but you need to be institutionalized.
All right, I got it.
The front door.
Well, somehow you kept talking about the door and the threshold. And the threshold, I think a front door is like a threshold. But you're right. There it is right there. Okay, got it. Got it.
I have a threshold for pain, Drew, and you're crossing
it. I'm sure I have.
All right, so I...
What?
You're an insane person. I then did all these calculations in my mind and then announced there shall be no plywood.
It's just unnecessary.
But it's because I have a base of sense. And
he thought he was going to get over that by getting ahead of steam? Did Dylan thought that thing, or was that the front door?
Yeah, that's what I'm dealing with.
That's what Gary's dealing with.
See,
he's going to get a running start at it.
That's why I thought the front door, maybe, because I vision when you start saying 2 1/4, I'm like, well, Jesus, I don't remember the front door being 2 1/4 riser. But okay, I got it now.
Right.
All right.
And little things like I was just talking to somebody about, oh, you got this this property and it's this warehouse and you got this loan, and because it's this kind of loan, you can only charge you can only charge $36,000 for rent a year, which is way less than you could probably get. I have no idea why, and I have no idea what it is. And it's always, and whenever something doesn't make sense, I'll give you a perfect one. I've told you this before, but it's been a while, but I'll tell you. Yeah. My accountant called me once, and he said, nobody knows less about tax code or accounting or loopholes or anything than me. Yeah. I do not study it. Yeah. I do not whatever it. And he said to me once, he said, hey, there's a provision that if you donate $50,000 to Dr. Drew and his children's college fund, that you can have that, that money's tax free for you. And then he, in turn, Dr. Drew, could donate $50,000 to your kids' college fund, and it's a gift and it's tax free.
Why didn't you tell me about that a long time ago, dude? My kids are still in graduate school. Maybe we can work something out here.
I said,
what the hell?
I'm paraphrasing and I'm probably screwing it up, but that's the deal.
Okay.
And I said, fine, that sounds good. I like saving money in taxes.
Yeah.
But I then paused. I said, that's a one-time thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I think you can do it as many times as you want.
Doesn't
and
make
I
sense.
Said,
yeah.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah. And he said, no, I've read the provision and it didn't say anything. Now I'm talking to a tax expert who read a provision. And you're talking to a guy who's put on academic probation at a junior college. And I say, no. And he says, yeah, I'm pretty sure. And I said, okay, what's to stop me from rounding up Jimmy and Daniel and every single friend of mine who's got some money in the bank and going, hey, buddy, I'll give you 50 grand toward your kids. You give me, and then I'll move on to the next rich guy. Yeah. And before you know it, I'll have $10 million of tax-free money because I've just found 20 guys to do this, whatever. And he said, when you hit people with that, it's funny because they go, I still think there's not a provision. And I go look it up and get back to me. I like it, by the way, when they get back to you, they call you 20 minutes later. Hey, turns out there's a provision. It turns out. Now, what do I know? Yeah. I just know it's not going to...
Doesn't make sense.
When people say that, I just go, it's not going to... It doesn't work. It won't make sense. They wouldn't... Somebody thought
you
of this.
You have to really, though... Let's just take what says up me with this threshold thing. You have to be really paying attention. And sometimes we just talk and, you know, people aren't paying attention. I noticed that somewhere in your diatribe about the threshold thing, it wasn't making sense to me. That's why I had to go see it. I was like, the way I'm not following for some reason. It all made sense what you said, but I had drawn some other, you know, I was in another space, you know, within my head. And so by stopping, going, looking, everything's back in focus again. And you could say I'm insane and that was stupidity. But it was because I started paying attention and realizing there was something wasn't making sense to me.
You were texting with your wife, and you got off.
That's how I got off.
Yeah,
that's how I got off. But I needed to get back. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. No sugar, no grain diet with Barry from
Jake's been on forever.
Jake's been on forever. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk to Jake first. From the San Francisco Bay, Jake 30. Yeah, right, Captain, right. All right, go ahead.
Hey, guys, get it on.
Get it on, man.
I should quickly say I've been listening to you guys since I was in middle school, and I actually wrote my college like entrance essays about love lines. So
I'm already indebted to you.
You got to send those to us. I know. I was thinking you would say that, but it's been like 17 years. So I'm not sure if I can dig it up, but I'll take a look.
Okay.
Okay, so my issue is that I was on SSRI, Celexa, for depression for a couple years. And then I've been off those for well over a year, about a year and a half now. And I'm still experiencing basically the main side effect I had. So when I started, I had two side effects. One was like hypomania whenever I increased the dose, which was just fantastic. That was like the best time of my life.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know.
Now you understand
maybe
why
that's
people,
a hint as to what was going on.
Now you're saying why manics don't like to take their medication. They like to stay in that mania.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, I was lucky I never was talking to God or had any consequences, but I can see how that would happen. The second side effect, though, is that my libido went totally down towards near zero. At the time, that wasn't a problem because I wasn't in a relationship. But now I am, and it's been a full I've been off them for over a year, and it basically hasn't come back at all.
Yeah, there is a
certain... And it totally sucks now.
Yeah, there are a certain percentage of people that can have persistent libido depression after the SSRIs stop. That's one of the really significant risks. For the most part, we say, well, you know, you just stop the SSRIs and everything's, you know, fine. And usually the moods, the mood things can recur about 50% of the time, but you leave your brain as you found it, except this one side effect that sometimes
can be
persistent.
Yeah, that's what I was told as well.
Yeah. And so I really, there are some, I would consult with, you know, doctors, look at ways of getting it treated. Some endocrinologists may have some approaches. The psychiatrists have some ideas about how maybe to work on this, but there are things to be done. And I would definitely see somebody about it. I think I would start with an endocrinologist if I were you.
Endocrinologist. Okay, because I did just recently start seeing a psychiatrist who, well, I talked to a few, and they kind of didn't recognize this as a real, biological thing,
well,
which is very frustrating.
That's unfortunate. I'm sorry, because it has been well documented. But the treatments are kind of peculiar, like cyproheptadine and things like that. And I don't really know if I... They seem all very kind of spurious to me. And, you know, if I were working with you on it, I would also work from the endocrine perspective too. And with the idea that what I've heard works is that once you get things kick-started, sometimes it sustains. But you do have to get you out of this rut, okay?
Thanks,
okay.
Jake.
So I'll definitely see an endocrinologist. And if you have any just like wacky, like classical music and go for a run type of ideas, I'm certainly open to that too.
In terms of kickstarting libido,
well, heavy weightlifting, yeah, that'll help, and have, you know, sexual activity does increase testosterone and stuff. So don't, you know, to kind of push yourself into it a little bit might be a good idea. I, you know, rarely prescribe pornography, but maybe this is a chance for that. Here's what I'm prescribing now, though, is TrueCar.
Oh,
shopping
yeah.
for a car, make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. People can configure cars online only to find out that car not available. TrueCar, you get real price on actual inventory, not the prices offered by TrueCar, but pricing from an actual TrueCar certified dealer. And those dealers have sold over 3 million cars. There are over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers throughout the country, and they've sold those 3 million vehicles. Over 3 million TrueCar users can save an average of $3,000 off MSRP plus discounts you cannot get anywhere else. So you look at that scattergram of what people have paid in your area, and remember, it is new and used. Something that I always predicted they would get into. And when you're ready to buy, you visit TrueCar. You see what others are paying. You lock in price on actual inventory. You know that vehicle's on the TrueCar certified dealer's lot, and you will enjoy a more confident car buying experience. TrueCar.
Love me some TrueCar.
Some features not available in all states.
All right. Let's see. Yeah. Check out Corolla Drinks, and what do we got there? Oh, yeah, let's go to Corolla Drinks. There's a bunch of events coming up, and, you know, usual suspects, but lots of good times. So go to CorollaDrinks.com and check that out. Chassis, and get some merch over at Adam Carolla, man. Get some holiday gifts. Get those buck slips. Drew, what do you got?
Go to Dr.com. Check out our family pods. Go to Facebook. Like that Facebook page. We have a YouTube channel now. We're actually doing some of our pods. We've been doing a bunch of our pods in a studio. And so we record them while we do. I did Jay Moore. We got a Jay Moore pod up. And it's kind of interesting. We had in Nicole and Jemmy and the Weekly Infusion, who's just sensational. Check it all out at Dr.com.
So until next time, I'm Crawford, Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.